So I took this opportunity to talk to three women, all graduate students at the University of Amsterdam, about their periods. Since I was focusing on Western taboos on menstruation, I wanted to know how different women, all from different cultures and different countries, first came to view their period and how maybe that perception has changed over the years. The conversation was really productive, and we talked a lot about the misconception that shames people, menstruating people, into not talking about their period, to the effect that it can affect one's health when you think something's wrong but don't want to talk about it, misconceptions from your families, especially mothers, and old traditional notions. And also, not talking about it in a very public way allows for some people to really not know anything about it, and this is why we don't see a lot of hygienic products in different bathrooms, etc. In our personal lives, we also thought about how our partners, our sexual partners, especially male partners, really don't know much about menstruation, haven't seen blood before, and don't know how to approach the topic of period sex. So the following are excerpts I had with these three women from our conversation about their menstruating experiences and why it's so important that Western society open a public dialogue on this topic. So at first, since everyone in the room already knew the topic, I asked them how comfortable they were with talking about their period, either with me or in the setting, or at all with their families, with their friends, with men, and it actually turned into a very diverse set of answers.
Are you guys uncomfortable in any way, or how comfortable are you talking about your period?
I used to be like completely uncomfortable about it, and I remember when I had my first period and I just burst into tears and told my mum. I was like distraught. It was horrible, but I think you then talk about with your friends and stuff, and I had irregular periods for ages, and I was obsessed with the gym when I was like 15, and I stopped having them completely.
Oh.
And because I didn't really like talking about it with my mum or whatever, and I like it just was not good for my health. So this is why it's so important to talk about, right?
Yes.
And then I spoke to my mum about it, and then all of a sudden from then, I was like super happy to talk about it.
My first period, or maybe the first year, well, I got my period when I was 14 years old.
Yeah.
And then I was just really embarrassed about it, and I thought it was really awkward, and like, I was really ashamed to ask my mom. I would only ask my mom to buy like pads or something, but over the years, I guess like when I turned 15, I didn't have an issue with it anymore. And then from there on, I don't feel so much shame attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think I've been exposed to a lot of like more like body positive media and stuff. Like I've exposed myself to those kinds of narratives.
How did you feel shame in that sense then?
You just felt really awkward. I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah.
It's like, ew.
Yeah,
like,
but you're unclean, and like the whole like discourse in school around it, and it's like the mystery of like who started their period and like who hasn't, and it's associated with being like sexually mature, and that's kind of not something you're ready to confront yet. And
I think there's also stuff like it smells bad or it's
gross,
and there's like blood,
and you just
leaking.
Be paranoid.
So after we got to talking about how our first experiences with our period were and how we felt really awkward and really weird talking about it, even with our families, and how we felt dirty, we really got into talking about how menstruation is a very female-centered topic, generally because it happens to us. But just because it happens to women does not necessarily mean that we are the only ones who should be well-informed about it. There are so many misconceptions that arise from not talking about menstruation. And now, as adult women, many misconceptions become funny in the past, and these anecdotes from our youth still remind us that these are lessons that show us how many are misinformed, even if they're our own mothers or our siblings or our male friends.
I think because it is part of like a female experience that kind of we haven't been able to talk about for like that many years, considering, you know, feminism now, I guess. And also, like, it's just a point of relation between other women, and it forms a lot of how you feel, at least like a few days of every month. So, you know, it's just a shared experience of living that you have with other girls,
mm-hmm.
which is also very different from person to person. So
of course.
I think, yeah, it just does come up.
Yeah.
And I don't, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily talk about it in front of guys, but just because, not that I don't think that I should, I just can't be bothered to put up with any resistance, and that would just piss me off.
Yeah.
I have quite a few guy friends, and I've talked to them about my period before, but it's, for them it's something that most guys, even the ones that have sisters, like guys also like cis guys that grew up
yeah.
and like never questioned or whatever, you know what I mean? They don't really know what it looks like,
mm-hmm.
and I find that it leads to like really funny situations. And
there's like a lot of different embarrassing aspects of it, whereas if we were in a world where everyone's just like,
yeah,
yeah, okay, you're bleeding now, bleeding is normal when people see
right, sure,
stains
so like,
often.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, like if you fell over and cut your leg and you're bleeding like through your jeans, like people
mm-hmm.
would be like, oh, are you okay? Like,
yeah.
That would be it, right?
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you're not embarrassed, you're just like, well, yeah.
Now that I think of it, my mom really was, I don't know, she started having all sorts of concerns when I started bleeding. So she did force me, or like she asked me to keep this journal, and also she forbid me to use tampons.
Okay.
Because that would affect my virginity.
Oh,
what? Really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Interesting.
Have
yeah.
you talked with her since about this specific
no,
thing?
No, actually, no. But I remember that she told me that I had to wait, and I remember that I stole some Tampax because I wanted to try it anyways, but it hurt, and so I did. I waited, actually. I waited
yeah.
till I had my first intercourse.
Now, after talking about these menstrual products and the misconception that comes with not only our periods, but very much the seen aspects, the hygienic products, we wanted to know, or I especially wanted to know doing this research, the accessibility to such products. How accessible is it to find a tampon, a moon cup, a menstrual cup, pads in Europe? There are so many factors to consider. You have the cost, the availability. Are they in bathrooms? Are they in restaurants? Are they in schools and universities? And people, if you start, would you ask just anyone on the street, or does that come with an inner embarrassment? So in the following, we talk a lot about accessibility, which is actually a very big part of your period and menstruation in general.
In Europe, as well as North America, hygienic products, tampons, pads, they're all taxed as luxury goods. And I know in the Netherlands, it's a 6% tax on top of it. So do you guys have any thoughts? Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Like it's
I didn't know about
the
Netherlands.
It's taxed like other objects, though.
Yeah.
Like 6% is like the normal refined object tax rate. But
mm-hmm.
it is
yeah.
taxed. And
it's
I think
taxed.
It shouldn't
mm-hmm.
be.
Yeah, I read that it was taxed as luxury goods, but I wasn't sure. I watched a video about all the different. I think it's an Italian video. It was pretty interesting because it compared different nationalities and how cheap it is or how expensive it is in different parts of the world. But yeah, I have to say I've used a menstrual cup since like over
mm-hmm.
10 years, so I don't really
yeah.
know. Even how much that costs anymore.
Yeah. And speaking of just like menstrual products in general, how accessible do you find that they are now?
The cup is still not accessible.
Accessible?
It's
and
not,
like
it's
accessible.
Not. It's
you can
online.
Yeah.
Like
sure. Or like or in food shops,
yeah,
but like,
or,
do you know what I mean? Like those,
yeah,
special kind of health,
yeah,
well-being,
yeah,
stores. Well, in the UK, I'm speaking of mainly, I haven't really been in those here, so I wouldn't know. But yeah, it's few and far between,
yeah,
pretty selective places.
And when they are in like these organic shops or whatever, they're super expensive.
Yeah.
Sure.
And
I mean, they are around 30 euros,
yeah,
maybe for 10 years.
Yes.
Yeah, but
that's
on the long term.
Yeah, but who don't have like 30 euro of disposable income just like
just
absolutely
to have today.
And
so
people shopping in these places are people who,
yeah,
are going to spend a little bit extra because,
yeah,
they're concerned about their health and like organic,
yeah,
products and stuff, and that is actually a luxury that,
yeah,
lots of people don't have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a supermarket, a,
yeah,
weekly shop that most people are doing.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But I just feel like it should be free. Like,
yeah.
Just,
yeah,
menstrual products should be free, because,
mm-hmm,
otherwise you're like, especially with the tax, it's like you're taxing people just for like being born with a,
mm-hmm,
vagina.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
Yeah.
Like,
no, it really does. And how accessible do you find it if you spontaneously get your period in public?
Yeah.
So, like,
oh, that's hard. It sucks.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a cup, because,
mm-hmm,
not always you can rinse it.
Yeah.
Not always there's a sink close to you. You have to find out your,
mm-hmm,
alternative ways of,
yeah,
emptying it, and,
mm-hmm,
you know, that's not very hygienic.
Yeah.
So, no, definitely not nice.
Menstruation goes beyond the bleeding and the products and the very visual aspects that are very seen in our societies. Periods, however, are a very internal and unseen natural cycle within menstrual bodies. So it really comes as no surprise that when speaking of menstruation with these three women, the topic of contraception comes up, given that our periods and the cycle are very closely tied with contraception and birth control. The importance of knowing your cycle, when your body is ovulating, and other information about your period gives a lot of women the sense of agency over their natural cycles. And a lot of these women in the conversation use period apps in order to track their periods and use it as contraceptives. So naturally, this conversation turned to period knowledge in general and sex.
How important is it for you guys to track your period? Or like, why did you start tracking your period
before contraception? Like,
as
that's
a contraceptive?
That's my only contraceptive method. I mean, I use this alongside with like the pulling out method.
Yeah.
Same.
And condoms?
So,
or
No.
I don't,
or unless I
want to
have penetrative sex, like, till orgasm when I'm in a period where I could,
yeah,
get pregnant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I would be condom.
Mm-hmm.
But
that, and also measuring your temperature, and or that's
no,
a different one.
I don't measure my temperature.
Okay.
I just use them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some of them are super high tech. Like I haven't got them. I've like, my periods are still pretty irregular, and I just ride the wave, ride the Red River. Yeah, and just use condoms. But
yeah,
I would consider getting the app. I don't know if it's how useful it is.
It's quite useful.
Yeah.
For me.
Mm-hmm.
I also have like, my periods are not super regular,
mm-hmm,
but then I can sort of keep track of like when they happen.
Yeah.
So it keeps all your data and information and makes,
sure,
like estimates of when your period is gonna start. And
yeah,
that's super useful, especially if you're using it for contraceptive methods, but also to kind of know like,
yeah,
where you're at in your cycle. Like, for instance, with emotional stuff, sometimes it,
sure,
helps me to know, because
that's,
I'm like,
true,
oh, this week, or like, today I'm feeling like really on edge for something. Like, why,
yeah,
do I feel like crying? Oh, it's because like my period is probably,
yeah,
like 5 days ahead.
And do,
yeah,
your partners also know about the app and even about your period, or like tracking it?
Yes, he does. No, I think that the thing that made him a bit confused at the beginning is that we could have penetrative sex and then up to him orgasming sometimes, so that other times he would just assume that it was okay, whereas the app said it wasn't. So
said,
yeah,
this is
so,
it.
So now,
on,
yeah. So now it has, I had to make it clear, like, okay, there is this thing that I use, and that's what you also have to know. So you always have to ask me, so we have to look at it together, sort of.
Men and some women not really knowing, you know, the period is part of a cycle where you're ovulating at some points, where you're more likely to get pregnant. Like, it's the whole cycle.
Yeah.
It's not just the bleeding.
Yeah.
Whereas I think,
yeah, for
like
sure,
a lot of guys would be like, oh yeah, it's just blood, you know.
Yeah.
Just bleed down there for a bit.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's kind of a whole biological system we've got going on here. So yeah, actually,
yeah,
they're pretty useful. And like, could be used for like educational purposes as well.
For sure,
yeah,
especially,
yeah,
if you're getting your period for the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also kind of like, yeah, more of like an interactive way to know your body, especially when you're like a child and you're, well, not a child, like you're going through puberty and you're getting to know your body, could be like a nice way that technology helps you do that.
Yeah.
And it also normalizes it.
In the sense that it's an app on your phone, just like any other app.
Absolutely, yeah.
And you use it to just look at your information and your health,
yeah,
like anything else, like,
yeah,
a running app almost.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Since we spent this conversation talking about menstruating bodies, a lot of things came up, like all of the extra money and thought and time and maneuvers that menstruating bodies have to put into their daily lives. So to wrap up the conversation, I asked these women what the future looks like, what their ideal future for a just and fair world for those who menstruate would look like. And their answers were not surprisingly all that far-fetched. They were very practical.
Yeah, I don't know how that would look. I mean, accessibility is definitely one. I mean, like, it being free would be amazing, but unfortunately I don't envision that being,
yeah,
the case. But like, removing the tax for sure. Yeah, accessibility, you know, removing any shame or like disgust even that people,
yeah,
might harbor still.
Teaching at a younger age,
yeah,
to
definitely
people. To men also.
Yeah,
I feel
sure
that, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously also having like young boys learn about it for me. And
definitely.
Yeah.
And like seeing, like, look at pictures. Like, I'm also the anatomy, like, picture, like, people learn in school, or they did in my school, about, like, periods and how it functions, like, inside the body or whatever. But let's, like, have pictures of actual period blood, like, in,
yeah,
textbooks.
Yeah,
so
for
people
sure
know what it,
like,
looks
they
like
would show you graphic pictures,
yeah,
of, like, STDs.
Yeah.
Slash, like, animations or, like, cartoons and stuff that really, like,
yeah,
don't capture what the real thing is like. So,
yeah,
then it is a shock for people when they experience it themselves,
yeah,
for women, or when guys see it and they're just...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not what they expected.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just, yeah, education and exposure to it.
I hope this conversation offered some insight into why the topic of menstruation in the Western world still needs to be talked about in a more public manner. Of course, these are only the thoughts of three women aged between 21 and 29 years old. But regardless, it brought to light the anxieties and thoughts menstruating people think about on a daily basis. A special thanks to Jenna Stivey, Matilda Madar, and Martina Durini for participating in this dialogue.